Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Is Tech News Today for Friday, October 1st, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by MailRoot.info. MailRoot is a secure hosted service that provides enterprise-grade virus and spam filtering to companies of any size. Try it right now absolutely free at MailRoot.info. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
He's Jason Howell, is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you to try to make sense of it all.
I was waiting for Jonathan, our guest host, to introduce himself.
Joining us from the Tech Stuff podcast is Mr. Jonathan Strickland.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Hello.
Strickland. It is very good to have you with us. Thanks for taking time to stay late on a Friday. I know out in the East Coast it's getting into the evening.
This is true. No, it's my pleasure. I would never complain about such a thing.
Not during the show, anyway. Let's move on to our first story. Logitech sent out some invites. I guess there's going to be an announcement in San Francisco and New York on October 6th, unveiling their Google TV lineup. That scoops Sony.
So what's that, next Wednesday?
Yeah, next Wednesday. We'll find out what kind of Logitech Google TV-ness they have. And they're talking about multiple products, so I'm guessing we'll see some accessories, too.
Sure hope so. I'm very excited about this. I mean, are we going? We're not going, are we?
Yeah, we're trying to figure out who's going to go. We might just cover it, like, over the internet, like we do with Mac, right. Apple keynotes. Becky might be there. I'll be in New York, but I don't think I'm going to actually be able to get to the New York one because I'm doing something over there. So, John, are you going to follow this?
I'll be following it. I will not actually be at the event. I am very curious to see these products, and I'm really want to see if they're going to start announcing prices. This is something that I've been following for a while. I like the idea of devices that are going to really make managing, consuming all sorts of entertainment easier.
Yeah, and we've been hearing a lot of people beta testing Google TV, and it's been buggy, but it's a beta. So it would be interesting to get release dates to know, like, okay, how close are they? Because if it's buggy and they're not going to release it until March, well, that's probably fine. If it's buggy and they say, and it's coming November 1st, that doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, that definitely raises some concerns. I mean, plus, of course, you've still got all the jokes about Google products being in beta for, you know,
ever.
2 or 3 years. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, this is their opportunity to really show this technology off in a wider range than they have before. I'm really kind of I'm eager to see what they come up with and what these products can actually do. And then I'm actually really curious to see what Sony's response is going to be.
Yeah, we're going to get Logitech on October 6th, Sony on October 12th. So by the end of October, we're going to know a lot about what's happening with Google TV.
Also, I'd love to know what's included in the line of products. All the products.
Yeah, because Logitech's saying products.
Speakers,
it's not just a
remotes,
box, right? Yeah.
You know, what are all the things that... Can you figure you have an event? Got five things, maybe? Two? I don't know.
Well, we will see.
We'll find out.
Meanwhile, Microsoft is going after Motorola for patent infringement. Microsoft alleges Motorola infringes on 9 smartphone patents involving such things as syncing and notifying apps of signal strength and battery strength. In addition to the lawsuit in U.S. District Court, Microsoft also filed a complaint with the International Trade Commission. Microsoft says, well, we're going to charge a licensing fee for our mobile software to indemnify people against patent infringement. And on the other hand, they're going after one of the more prominent makers of Android handsets for patent infringement. So is this sort of a gangster technique?
Well, it's like that Microsoft has figured out how to cover HTC against Apple, right? But Motorola isn't doing anything with Windows. So Microsoft's mad at Motorola.
Yeah.
Yeah, not yet.
Motorola has responded saying, we have a leading intellectual property portfolio, one of the strongest in the industry. The company will vigorously defend itself in this matter.
Yeah, suing over patent infringement has become the new black.
Also, Contact syncing, battery strength, really?
This is the patent world in which we live. Yeah, those could totally be problems. Motorola does have deep patent. But and this is the way patents work. Patents don't work by saying, hey, I invented that thing that you're using, Sarah. You need to stop it or give me money. Patents work by I sue you, you sue me. It's like a war.
But why isn't Microsoft suing Google? I mean, it's the Android that they're upset about.
Because Google got the deep pockets and the big paid lawyers.
The deep patent pockets.
So Microsoft, they're bullying the people that they can win the fight.
They think they can come to a settlement. And you start small, right? I mean, not that Motorola is super small, but... You start with the people you think you can get an agreement out of.
The little scrappy droid guys. They can't take us. Nah. We're Microsoft. Google, that's another matter.
Google, you're big. We're scared of you. Meanwhile, Samsung is doing exactly what Microsoft would like. Samsung is ditching Symbian devices. They say they will not be putting out any more devices on Symbian. Bad news for Nokia. They've declared their love for Windows Phone 7. And meanwhile, Wall Street Journal reports that AT&T will announce phones on November 8th, including some from Samsung. Actually, they'll announce the phones on October 11th. They should deliver on November 8th, including some from Samsung. And Samsung's going to make the Tab go on sale November 1st in the UK, so we don't have a price for that. So lots of stuff going on with Samsung. They're on the rise.
They're all over the place. Are you you going to get a Galaxy Tab? I know you were excited about it.
I would like to. Yeah, I'm still waiting on a price, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm leaning towards it. What about you, John?
Yeah, actually, the Galaxy Tab is the first tablet device I've seen that I've been tempted to get. I still don't have a reason to get one. This is one of those things that's been plaguing me since the iPad really made it big, is that I like the form factor as... you know, in concept, but I can't really think of a reason to use it. I can't find a place for it in my lifestyle right now that makes sense, that I can't, you know, in a way that I'm not using something else, right? Like smartphones are covering some things and computers are covering others. I've got, you know, Roku, I've got a Xbox 360. It's gotten to the point where I can't find a reason for a tablet, but the Tab is something that is just compelling enough for me to really consider it. I think the camera is pretty much the bit that sealed the deal. So when iPad comes out with the version that has the camera, then I'm sure that I'll switch over to that.
Yeah, tablets don't really seem like they have a specific like use that you have to get them for. But anyone that gets them finds plenty of uses for them.
Absolutely.
And then after using it that way, it's almost like they can't go back.
There was an NPD study out today that said that basically 83% of the people who bought the iPad didn't buy it to replace anything. They just bought it to have it.
Because it was cool.
Although the iPad, before I didn't purchase one, Twit did. But before I had it, I felt the same way. I mean, what am I really going to do on this thing? Mm-hmm. But now I just prefer to do certain tasks on my iPad rather than anywhere else because I have the option. It's not necessary, but the option's there.
Right, now, are we also excited about these Samsung Windows Phone 7 handsets? Mike, because Samsung is.
I need to see them. I haven't really had a hands-on with Windows Phone 7 at all, so I'm really curious to see how it stacks up compared to other big smartphone OSs out there. Like, how does it stack up against Android? How does it stack up against iOS? What's the experience like? Is it going to be easy enough for the general consumer to really dive into it? Because right now, what we have is we've got the iOS, which is incredibly easy to learn. I mean, there's really nothing to it from a learning curve standpoint. Then you have Android, which I've always explained to people as you get out of it what you put into it. You have to be willing to put effort into the OS for it to really pay off for you. And I'm wondering where Windows Phone 7 falls within that.
And Samsung obviously delivering not a death blow, but a hurtful punch to Symbian.
Yeah, I think it would take a lot to give a death blow to Symbian. It's still a very popular OS. In fact, isn't it still the most popular OS worldwide?
Most widespread, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Samsung is actually still a member of the Symbian Foundation, but they're closing their forum and they're not going to make any more phones with it. So it's not looking good for Symbian, even though this is the same problem with Nokia. Nokia is the most widespread phone maker, but they just keep going down and down and down. They're not growing anymore. They're not moving in the right direction. And so that's also bad news for Symbian. Let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor, MailRoute.info. What they are is a company that gets rid of spam for you. Tom Johnson runs them. He's a friend of Leo. Leo Laporte, you know, the guy who runs Twit. Ooh. He wrote Microsoft's hosted, not Leo, but Tom Johnson wrote Microsoft's hosted exchange service. You may have heard of it, FrontBridge. He moved on from Microsoft and then tried to write the ultimate spam solution. This is for companies. This is for businesses, great and small, or anybody really that runs their own mail server. If you run a mail server for multiple people, this is going to work for you. I just signed up for it. Leo's used it for 6 years. It blocks 96% of the email that comes to him, but that's all spam. It's let me see. It was 3.7 million messages last year that Leo got. MailRoute blocked 3.6 million of them. They're all spam. 96% of the mail was spam. And no false positives. They pride themselves on that. The server stays up 99.999%. You can sign up right on the website, MailRoute.info. You don't have to sign up for a long-term contract. It's month-to-month, $2 per user per month. You can add outbound services for 50 cents per user per month. So if you run your own mail server for your family, you have multiple email accounts like I do, subbrilliant.com has been essentially unusable for me for the past 10 years, practically. So MailRoute, I just set up MailRoute on Subbrilliant. I'm going to be able to use it again. I've even got Google Apps for the domain. It works with that, too.
Subbrilliant's been unusable for 10 years.
Subbrilliant.com email has.
Yeah.
I have not used email on that domain.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can, thanks to MailRoute.info. So set it up right now. Go to MailRoute.info, and you will get 10% off thanks for being a Twit user. In fact, it says it right there on the website when you go. Verizon. We didn't talk about Verizon and all that. Cell phone palooza.
Has Verizon been left in the cold, Tom?
Have
they nothing to report of their own?
Do you consider Android cold? Well, I consider Android an operating system best served cold. Because if it's hot, your phone might not work.
Right. You might fry something.
Yeah.
Or it might hurt.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick
totally.
Up. A
lawsuit
hot phone.
Potential, though.
Yeah, totally. Believe me, Apple knows
about
that.
I'm trying not to quote Ricardo Montalban now.
You mean Khan?
Yes.
It's
very cold in space.
Space. And Gadget has got some leaks about the Verizon roadmap, and there's some interesting stuff in here, including the Motorola Venus with a portrait QWERTY keyboard and some of the first LTE tablets. LTE being the new fast 4G wireless service that Verizon is just beginning to roll out. Looks like we'll get the Motorola Venus in October. Verizon bills it as having a BlackBerry look and feel. Kind of, they compare it to T-Mobile's Charm. We're also looking at the Motorola Stingray tablet coming in Q1 of 2011.
I like that name.
The Stingray?
The Stingray. I like it better than Venus. That sounds like, you know, what I use to shave my legs or something.
I don't know. That's a good point. We don't know if the Motorola Venus will also shave legs. That seems like it would be patent infringement or trademark or something. The Motorola Stingray is a 10-inch tablet with Android 3.0 Gingerbread, 16 gigabytes of onboard storage, and hardware upgradable to LTE, although initially launching with CDMA. However, we are going to see some LTE modems coming in November. USB modems for Verizon LTE and LTE MiFis after that, the little Wi-Fi rebroadcaster that would take in an LTE signal and then rebroadcast it as Wi-Fi for you to share around. So looks like good stuff coming from Verizon, especially considering they're not in on the Windows Phone 7 thing because Windows Phone 7 won't support CDMA phones out of the gate.
Well, they got a lot of their own stuff to be excited about, especially that Venus.
You're liking the Venus.
Open for a razor.
Yeah.
In the Venus.
Well, I'm currently in the market for a new smartphone because my beloved HTC G1 finally gave up the ghost. So I'm actually looking to play the field now and maybe move beyond T-Mobile. And so I'm really curious to see how these different devices stack up. I'm for the first time in a really long time, I'm looking at other carriers.
Would you consider?
I'm probably gonna stick with, go ahead.
Would you consider a BlackBerry?
Probably not. I am really looking to stay on the Android platform. For one thing, I've already invested in it. I've got apps and contacts and everything in there that makes it would be a lot easier to port over staying on Android. Plus, I'm curious to see what any kind of Android build beyond 1.6 looks like.
I'll tell you one thing.
Oh, you stuck on 1.6?
You'll like it.
With the G1.
The G1, yeah, the G1 is stuck on 1.6. Yeah, yeah.
Well, don't get a BlackBerry, especially if you're going to travel to India, unless you like being spied on. The Indian government announced today, Friday, that they now have manual access to Research in Motion's BlackBerry Messenger service.
Which is what they wanted.
Manual access means that, seriously, this sounds silly, RIM will print out what they request.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
In what format?
Paper.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what's it going to look like?
Well, if they say I want to know what messages were sent,
oh,
they will provide that. I actually think they probably could provide it as PDFs or something too.
What, but one would think, they
but
wouldn't
it's
have
not
to waste all those trees.
It's not automated access. It's not. It's something where they say we want that, and then it gets extracted and delivered. But they are looking at getting automated access from January 1st.
Yeah, the manual access I would imagine would be really tricky. I mean, as I understand it, there are quite a few people who live in India.
It's a big place.
I would imagine that sifting through information manually, trying to find whatever it is that you're worried about, would be a Herculean task.
And they aren't getting email. They're only getting BlackBerry Messenger stuff, and only the ones that they request, and only manual access. So it's not turning on a ton of stuff. It might have been easier for them just to hire some Russian hackers.
Why is that, Tom?
Russian software developer Elcom Soft. They've been around for a while. You've heard about them before. They have figured out how to crack BlackBerry encryption backups. So not the messengers as they're going around in the air, but they can get into your backup. Essentially, they found out that backup data is passed from your BlackBerry device to the computer that it's syncing to and backing up to in plain unencrypted form.
Yep. Is there any way to turn off backing up data?
Yeah, you can not back up data, but then if you lose your data, we always preach to people
from the Russians.
Back up.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess that's another reason not to get a BlackBerry?
Well, what Elcom Soft is touting is that they now have software that will be able to uncrack your encrypted backup should you have a backup that you can't get into anymore. They'll be able to crack that password for you. It's a service for you if you forget your password.
My brain hurts.
Yeah, there's been a lot of news about various governments, including our own, looking at making unencrypting stuff easier in order to track information for various reasons. It's getting to the point now where I'm starting to wonder what good encryption is going to be in 5 or 10 years. If everyone has these policies where there have to be these back doors, like why even encrypt? It's really just, it's almost like a security blanket at that point.
Well, exactly right. This is because BlackBerry uses AES encryption. It's very tough encryption. It's hard to crack. How Elcomsoft was able to do it, as I understand it, was they found a weakness. They found a place where it wasn't strongly encrypted, and they were able to crack in that way. It's not that the encryption was easily crackable. So when you put in back doors, like they're doing for India, or like the United States is considering in a bill that's moving through Congress, you're weakening encryption. And when you weaken encryption, you give the bad guys a way to get in. I shouldn't call Elcomsoft bad guys necessarily, but someone could use the Elcomsoft software for bad intent. So back doors are a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Backing up, good idea.
Yes.
We've talked previously on TNT about Electronic Arts holding strong with their Medal of Honor title that allows you to play as the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
It's been banned from being sold on U.S. military bases. A lot of people have protested against this, saying it's insensitive to our troops who have sacrificed their lives in Afghanistan. EA has said no, that we've consulted with the military, we've talked with people, and we believe this is just, you know,
a
way to show what
upset about
war
it.
Is like. Mm-hmm. We believe that this is actually, you know, this is actually the way it should be. Well, they've changed their mind now. They finally backed off and said, we are going to change the name of the playable opposing force from Taliban to opposing force.
But there's nothing about the game that's changed. It's not like it's a ambiguous location.
As far as we know, it's still Medal of Honor happening in Afghanistan. It's still Taliban-looking characters.
Right.
They're just called opposing force.
Yeah, it's just a cosmetic change. And, I don't know. I mean, Shakespeare put it really well, I think. What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. I mean, you can call it whatever you want, but it's pretty obvious what it is. I don't see how this is a good solution. I don't see how it helps their cause any, or how it would mollify anyone who was offended by the original the original case of having the Taliban in there. It's, to me, it just seems like it seems a little misguided.
I agree with you, Jonathan. I think the idea of playing against an enemy while we're actually currently in a conflict, I mean, that's the issue that upsets people. Taking away a name, you know, erasing a name is not providing any sort of solution. It's still the same issue, I think, that people are going to have.
Well, here's the idea
of playing this game.
Greg Goodrich is the game's executive producer. He said, "We've received notes from gamers, active military, and friends and family of servicemen and women currently deployed overseas, and the majority of this feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. For this, the Medal of Honor team is deeply appreciative." So it sounds like they're continuing their line of defending that, yeah, this is uncomfortable, but it's an uncomfortable reality. It's like the Hurt Locker, you know? It's like it's like some sort of experience that's, we're trying to emulate the reality of it, and playing the bad guys is, you know, there's all kinds of World War II games where you can play as a Nazi, and that's not any more acceptable or unacceptable. It's just a universe that we're trying to create. However, he goes on to say, "We also receive feedback from friends and family of fallen soldiers who have expressed concern over the inclusion of the Taliban in the multiplayer portion of our game. This is very important to the voice to the Medal of Honor team." And so he goes on to say that's why they're changing the name from Taliban to Opposing Force. But what this says to me is we really believe in what we're doing here, but having that name is just too much for people. So fine, we'll change the name. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change the underlying experience, we don't think, and it makes some people happy.
I mean, if it makes people happy, then that's great. I just don't think they're really going to appease the people who are really upset about this. It's the concept. It's not the word Taliban that's upsetting people.
Right, yeah. If I were one of the people who felt really deeply offended by the concept in general, I'm not entirely convinced that a name change would be enough to make me feel better about it. I mean, I'm not one of those people, but at the same time, I can empathize with them at least a little. This is a tricky situation, and in the mentioning that it's an uncomfortable world, and these games are trying to emulate that. The argument I always hear that comes back from that is, "This is a game. Why does it have to be uncomfortable?"
Also uncomfortable is radiation. Boy, howdy. FCC, the FCC is quietly changing its longstanding recommendation that consumers concerned with cell phone radiation should purchase phones with lower SAR levels. They're not saying that anymore. In fact, the FCC has come out and said many people mistakenly assume that using a cell phone with a lower reported SAR value, that's the radiation value, necessarily decreases a user's exposure to RF emissions or is somehow safer than using a phone with a high SAR value. They say SAR values are still important in judging the maximum possible exposure, but it doesn't give you sufficient information about the amount of RF exposure you'd actually experience under typical usage. So in other words, the SAR value says this is the maximum you can get. It doesn't tell you how much you're getting when you use it. So something with a high SAR value might only be delivering a medium value most of the time. It's just capable of a higher time. Or something with a low SAR value may work at maximum all the time, in which case they'd both be delivering the same amount.
Which is, it's kind of funny because we've talked about in the past that San Francisco passed into a law that SAR values had to be displayed next to the phones, you know, at the phone store. And what they're really displaying is potential SAR value, not actual SAR value.
I'm sorry, but ultimately there's also just the question of, does this radiation actually hurt you at all? And there's still not really a scientific consensus on that.
Yeah, nobody knows. Exactly.
The evidence doesn't seem to suggest that there's any harm. But then again, there's the argument that the science itself is still pretty young. It's not like we have a lot of long-term cases that we can study. But, you know, it's weird to have all this kind of hysteria, or maybe that's the wrong word, but fear-mongering or the good old FUD about something that we really don't know that there's a danger there in the first place.
Right. And to say we don't know there's a danger doesn't mean there's a likelihood of danger. It means right. that so far the science is either mixed or leaning towards there isn't an effect. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have any concern for it, but like anything else, there's not a black or white answer. And right now it leans slightly that way. So you should be careful. You probably should use a hands-free headset just to be safe. But it doesn't mean that you need to have these big warning labels, because these warning labels don't tell you anything useful. And that's what the FCC is saying. They're like, we're not even going to get into whether radiation actually is harmful or not. These SAR values don't tell you how harmful the radiation would be if it was harmful.
Why did the FCC quietly change these guidelines anyway? I mean, this seems like something, I mean, it's such a hot topic for so many folks, because we don't really understand. Nobody wants maximum radiation if they can help it. I mean, why isn't this more of a PR push on the FCC's part?
Because they probably are going to get a lot of backlash from the same folks who pushed for the labeling in San Francisco, saying, how dare you say this? You're endangering the populace. So they were hoping we wouldn't talk about it. Sorry.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the news fuse. Thanks to Jeremy from PSKL for sending this one in. A study by PSKL, their security researchers, found that 68% of popular iPhone applications transmit the unique identifier of your phone, that's the UDID, to servers under the application vendor's control each time the application is launched. Now, this is similar to what we were talking about with Android doing GPS stuff yesterday. They found that 18% of the applications tested encrypted their communication, so you didn't know what they were sending, and 14% of the tested applications appear to be clean. PSKL also confirmed that some applications are able to link the UDID to a real-world identity, so kind of like setting a cookie without you knowing it.
Sky's launching Europe's first 3D TV channel. That means three-dimensional in the UK. Early tests of the technology were performed in pubs, as they would be, where viewers got to watch football matches in 3D, and viewers said it looked like the hooligans were chucking bottles straight at their heads.
Nah,
I guess it worked.
Run!
It's 3D. Where is it real? I don't know. More beer.
Duck.
Continuing frightening news, Microsoft CEO Steve developers Ballmer will only get half of his bonus this year, due in large part to the failure of the Ken and the decrease in mobile market share. That means that poor Mr. Ballmer will only get a bonus equal to his yearly salary, $670,000, instead of a bonus equal to double his yearly salary.
Oh, poor Steve.
Only half of $670,000? What will he do? How will he feed his family?
Well, no, he gets $670,000 instead of double $670,000.
Oh, so he can probably at least, well, as long as he goes to Costco.
Thank goodness
and
for
saves.
Windows 7.
The kids are eating cat food for the next month.
And if you like to follow Microsoft personnel moves, perhaps for your Fantasy Tech Executives League, today was a killer day for you. Filling the departures of Robbie Bach and Stephen Elop, he's the guy who left for Nokia, Microsoft has promoted Andy Lees to President of Mobile Communications, Don Mr. Xbox, and now Zune Matrick, to President of Interactive Entertainment, and Kurt Delbean to President of Office Division. Not the Office Division, I notice, because maybe that would confuse it with the NBC program. Anyway, I'm sure there's a player to be named later in there, too, or something. I don't know.
Ars Technica is reporting that Canonical is preparing to add a new music streaming feature to its Ubuntu One cloud synchronization service. Users are going to be able to stream songs to their phone from their Ubuntu One account. Initially, during beta, the feature will work with MP3 files on Android devices.
Acoustic processing specialists Input Dynamics has developed software which can tell exactly where you tap on a screen by listening to the sound it makes. Ooh. The developers say the software could allow for cheap touchscreen devices and even allow current phones without touchscreens to behave as if they had them. He claims the software can pinpoint the sound of a tap within a square centimeter and could be indistinguishable from current touchscreen devices when used.
Ooh. Maybe
so no precision.
Make my old Sprint phone from 1999 into a touchscreen. Privacy concerns for Google Street View may now extend to penguins.
What?
Following the service's extension to Antarctica. The Antarctic imagery is so far limited, showing panoramas of the coast, the penguins of Half Moon Island, some user-submitted photos. Also, Google Maps Ireland went live yesterday, and it took the cream of Ireland's media just minutes, according to the Register, to find the first picture of a pair of Dubliners bearing their hairy butts so everyone could see them. They also launched Google Street View in Brazil.
Tom, I have one question for you. What do you think Horse Boy thinks about all of this?
Horse Boy's like, well, Horse Boy's Scottish, right? So it just plays into the whole stereotype there.
I'm wondering if the Penguins will get Morgan Freeman to be their spokesman about privacy issues. That's a March of the Penguins joke.
You know, if they've taken their Wi-Fi.
If you look at the little Google Street View down in Antarctica and you're moving around in 360 degree view, the little Google person is a penguin.
Oh, instead of being a little yellow guy, looks like AIM guy, it's a penguin.
It's a little
guy.
Penguin Aww. Rather than a little man.
That's cool.
I know. Google's always, they're good with the details. Also, according to Google, the Android market is coming to 18 more countries, including Brazil, India, Mexico, Russia, and Sweden. Developers who make their applications available to all locations will be available to the new customers. Also, developers in 20 more countries will be allowed to sell paid apps in the marketplace, including Canada, Switzerland, and Taiwan.
What do those three countries have in common?
They
can now sell paid apps in the marketplace. I don't know anything else.
they snow falls in all of the countries.
In Taiwan, there's some snow.
Up in the mountains.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Done. Snow falling.
It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon right here.
Nice.
Except not.
6 degrees of Taiwan bacon. The Ig Nobel Awards have been announced. John, are you familiar with the Ig Nobel Awards?
I am very familiar with the Ig Nobel Awards. These are sort of tongue-in-cheek awards that are given to, let's say, eccentric scientific studies. Sometimes the study, at least at first blush, can seem unusual or unnecessary. Often it is very odd. But the awards are kind of meant not just tongue in cheek, but there is kind of a genuine a thank you to the scientific community for really pushing science in unusual directions.
So we have the winners now, and
yes.
It's funny to watch all the different web news outlets pick a different one to highlight. For instance, there was the engineering prize for a helicopter remote control helicopter way of collecting whale snot. There was the discovering the symptoms of asthma can be treated with a roller coaster ride, using a slime mold to determine optimal railroad routes.
Now, that's just cool.
People slip and fall less when you put your socks on the outside of your shoes.
That's true.
Did you already know that? Well, you're from Idaho. Of course you knew that.
Oh, yeah. We walk around with our socks on the outside of our shoes all the time.
Oh, I thought you just put potatoes on the bottom of your
feet. We hollow out a potato. And put
well, that's
on
what their
foot.
Shoes are. And then they put socks on the outside of that.
Right. It's very appealing.
I didn't like the public health prize, determining by experiment that microbes cling to bearded scientists.
Mm.
I'm not a scientist, so maybe it doesn't cling to me.
Nope.
How are you not a scientist?
I am not an actual... I'm a podcaster. I'm a podcaster, not a scientist.
Oh, come on.
I feel like you're a scientist a little bit.
Yeah,
I still like the Peace Prize.
That's all it takes.
I like the Peace Prize
a
lot.
I'm a scientist.
What's the Peace Prize?
Peace Prize was Richard Stevens of the United Kingdom, and colleagues received the Peace Prize for confirming the widely held belief that swearing relieves pain.
Oh, thank... Well,
yeah,
I'd
right.
really let loose.
We don't need to make Jason beep out everything with our pain-relieving efforts.
I am in a lot of pain.
But Jason has a headache today, and he swore earlier. Did it recede?
I screamed the F word, and it hurt more, actually.
Really?
The act of yelling.
Well, you're just supposed to let the F word roll off
just,
your tongue.
Just whisper.
That's
it.
What helps.
It doesn't
pain.
Matter how loud it is. But when you're swearing, you kind of feel the need to, you know, go
you
to the
emphasize
top.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll try that later when we're not doing a show.
Yep. Right now, it's time to look at the calendar.
Yay, calendar. I want to wish 4chan, all of our friends at 4chan, a very happy 7th birthday, 4chan.
There's more to 4chan than just Anonymous and the B-board, by the way. There's lots of stuff. I mean, nothing bad about those, but those are the parts that get the press. There's also the Gboard, and you know, there's lots of stuff.
A lot of fantastic images on 4chan. 4chan brought us Rickrolling.
That's right.
For example,
and Pedo Bear.
Lolcats, I believe, started on 4chan originally.
They wormed their way through there somehow. There's
so you know, a lot of the internet mystery. Darlings have 4chan to thank. So happy birthday to you all. Please don't take down our server. Yeah. iPads on sale at Target this Sunday, October 3rd. So if you're a Target customer, you can pick up an iPad when you stock up on toilet paper
or and whatever it is you're doing. Wash.
And Method hand wash. Maybe a shirt.
Yeah.
Pots and pans. I have
jelly beans.
Bought some plates at Target just the other day. Microsoft's bringing back Windows 7 family packs also on Sunday. So Sunday's a big day. iPads, Microsoft, it's all good. Medal of Honor PC multiplayer beta starts Monday. That's October 4th. And Panasonic is teasing a 3.2 megapixel. 13.2.
Way more impressive.
I want to swear, it hurts. 13.2 megapixel Linux phone on October 5th. Unveiling.
Good stuff going on there.
3.2 megapixel. Wow. That would
That's a mega difference.
I would actually be more impressed.
This is TNT for $19.99. All right, let's move on to our voicemails. 260-TNT-SHOW is the number to call, or you can email us an attachment like our first caller did.
Hello, TNT crew. This is the angry German from Austria. What does this wishy-washy German means when he says Zuckerberg means sugar mountain in German? It means sugar castle. Ha! Thank you. You now gesugert. And for the record,
what?
I like Becky.
Okay, now it just got weird. welcome to TNT, Alex.
Yeah.
Long time Buzz Out Loud caller.
That's true.
So Sugar Castle, not Sugar Mountain.
Makes it seem a little more grand to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, das ist richtig.
A little more sparkly.
Mark Sugar Castle. On to the emails. Our first email today, Derek from Schaumburg says, I'd love it if you could pass this along. We need all the publicity we can get. Pledgebank.com/xmarks-premium. They want 100,000 people to pledge to pay between $10 and $20 a year for Xmarks Premium. If they can get that many people to pledge to do that, they will try to get the people to make it happen. So if you're a fan of Xmarks and you want it to not go away because they announced they're gonna kill it, sign up for the Xmarks Premium Pledge. On their blog, they've mentioned that they've gotten interest from many parties interested in continuing the service. That's why they're doing this. So I used to use Xmarks. I haven't used it in a while because of Mozilla Weave, which is now just called Mozilla Sync. But I know we got a ton of emails from people who are into Xmarks and very much upset that it was going to be killed. So here's your chance to try to save it.
You know, Xmarks had, what, 2 million active members at the time of closure?
Yeah.
Earlier this week?
I mean, that's a small percentage.
100,000 people between $10 and $20 a year, that's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not out of the question.
I think if enough people knew about it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
$20 a year, it's not...
Well, we have, I mean, we've
chicken
got
change, but it's
five times that amount yeah. listening to this show right now.
People play that for Flickr and Yahoo. And
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pay $60 for Vimeo.
Really?
It's pretty high.
Wow.
Well, because then I get HD embedding and
yeah, right.
there's some perks, but yeah, that's one of the higher ones. We got another email from Brian Maloki. Hopefully one of those is correct. Maloch. He says, one point you've missed on why so many smartphone owners don't download apps is not that they don't. It's because many users with smartphones can't download apps. Many companies that use BlackBerry, for example, lock down the phone so that downloading any application is blocked. And he goes on to say that he was in the situation at work and he ended up going and buying a Droid on his own just so he could have a device he could download apps to.
That's a good point. We forget how many corporate situations really restrict what you can do with installing things, not just on computers, but on phones, too.
Gosh, that would really suck. It's nice to have the ability to be able to download the apps that I want. But, yeah. Thank you for the point, Brian.
Do you have a company phone, John?
No. I have, I had my personal phone, and I had it tied into our Exchange server.
That's what I used to do at CNET, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but and I probably could get a corporate phone if I requested it, but I liked it. I liked that I was able to access all of my calendar and email information without people knowing that I could do that.
Yeah, right. Well, we won't tell anyone.
Well, the G1's dead, so
right now I can't do it.
You
mentioned that earlier. All right, well, thank you, John Strickland, for being on the show. It's great to have you back again.
Thank you very much. And, just remember where you can find me. Hang on.
Well, the audio people are wondering what you're talking about. John is slowly rotating to the left to reveal HowStuffWorks.com.
Yeah. Good old tech stuff.
The Tech Stuff Podcast, a great podcast. Thanks for having me and Veronica on it when we were out there in Dragon Con in Atlanta. It was really fun.
That was a great time.
One of the recent episodes.
I have to get Sarah on next.
Love to. Anytime, Jonathan. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks to all of you guys for watching or listening. However you consume the show, you can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. Pick up the phone. Send us a voicemail, 260-TNT Show. We'll see you next Monday.